So if there is a catastrophe, who's the first person you call? You don't have to say it out loud, but who's the first person you call? Yesterday, my phone rings, and it's Reagan. She said, "Dad, I got a problem." I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "This oil light on my car is on." What does that mean? And I said, "Reagan, when's the last time you changed the oil in your car?" She said, "Not too long ago." I said, "That's what that means." I said, "Go check it and see how much it is." When there's a problem, if she wanted a recipe, she wasn't going to call Neil Jackson. She'd have called her mama. When there's a problem, who's the person that you're going to call? That's what this passage is all about. In times of problems, in times of difficulty, we're not to be running to our friends. We're not to be running to the neighbor. We're not to be running to the gossip network. This teaches us, David is in a world of issues. Saul is coming after him. He has enemies trying to destroy him. And he says, here's the secret of how to handle adversity. Now you look at the title of today's sermon, The Rhythm of Praise. Now I'm not talking about rhythm like soul and that kind of rhythm. I'm talking about a regular, habitual routine. And you say, why are you keep talking about praise and praise and praise and praise and praise? Last week I sold one of my toys, so I had to replace it with another toy. So the guy came and brought a different toy for me to play with this week. He says, "Hey, let me tell you about this because it's a little bit different from your old one." That's what I'm doing with this praise. Praise is a weapon for we as Christians to bring God into our circumstances. And we have been sold a bill of goods. We have been sold a lie that oh no, let's complain. Let's bellyache because it does so much good. It doesn't do any good. It makes things worse. But when you praise and you adore God, God shows up in your problems. This morning, three truths to help you deal with the catastrophes of life. Sermon I'm entitling, The Rhythm or The Routine of Praise. First truth I want you to see. Notice the responsibility of praise. Psalm 18. We're going to look at this one verse today. I will call upon the Lord. It's a personal vow. It's a personal decision that David made. This is what I'm going to do. It's not a suggestion, but a determined lifelong commitment. It is to be part of our everyday lives that we call upon the Lord, talking about prayer, but he's talking about praise. I will. That's intentional. That's not passive. That's not accidental. David had his enemies. David had pressure and stress upon him. David was dealing with betrayal. And he says, my instinct is not to panic. My instinct is not to have a meltdown. My instinct is praise and prayer. How do you respond when things blow up in your life? David said, I will. It was built on God's faithfulness. His praise fueled his faith so that he could handle the difficulties upon his life. I will, it says, call upon. It implies crying out in dependence. It's turning to God and saying, God, help me in my time of need. What do you do when your world turns upside down? He says, I will. This is my routine. This is my pattern. This is something I do every single time. I will call upon the Lord in dangerous seasons. Believers are not to fear. Believers are not to fret. Believers are to call upon the Lord. You understand this. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. That's true for eternal, your eternity in heaven. But it's also for your temporary situation on earth. What are you to do when things go belly up at work? You're to call upon the Lord. What are you supposed to do when things are not firing on all cylinders at home? Call upon the Lord. Now notice the order. David doesn't say, I'll call on God when he fixes this. Praise comes before victory. Praise comes before the breakthrough. Praise comes before the enemy runs and hides and flees. David trusts the Lord so he could call on him in time of trouble. When we don't trust the Lord, we don't call on him in trouble. We go and we drown our sorrows in alcohol. Or we go and we just have a cry. And he's saying, when your world is cratering and falling apart, that's the time to call upon the Lord. You look at verse 4. He recounts his dire straits. Look at verse 4. The sorrows of death surround me, compass me. And the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He's surrounded. Verse 5, the sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death, they're all around me. And his response, he has faith and praise in advance, confident that the victory is on the way. So imagine the scenario, and here it is. David is in a cave. King Saul is hunting him. He's surrounded by enemies, feeling the snares of death closing in. In that moment, he doesn't say, okay, what am I going to do? What's my strategy to get myself out of this? His first response, I'm going to call on the Lord. Is that your first response? Some of you say, well, let me go to ChatGPT and see what it would do in this situation. I'm not against AI. But AI is no good than not near as good as the Holy Spirit. You look at verses 7 through verse 14. God responds dramatically. The heavens shake, the thunders roar, the arrows fly, and David is rescued. Here's how I would illustrate it. You got a rope. You got a lifeline. Sean Murray, you think you can catch this? I'm not going to throw it. I just wanted to see if you think you can catch it. I don't think I can throw it that far, so I'm not. But you are thrown out. You call upon the Lord. He throws out the lifeline. And you say, no. This is the Lord, my help, my deliverer. I'm clinging to him, and the Lord will rescue you. Hey, there's nothing wrong with friends. Thank God for friends in time of difficulty, in time of trouble. Thank God for a godly spouse that you can run to. But she or he should be the second one. Let's go to prayer. Let's call upon the Lord. Call on the Lord is grabbing hold of his unbreakable rope of his character. Number one, the responsibility. When troubles come, the first response, call upon God. Number two, the reason for our praise. I will call upon the Lord. Next phrase, who is worthy to be praised. The foundation of David's prayer is God's worthiness. Men are often praised who are not worthy of it. God is always worthy of our praise. Praise is not a reaction to rescue. All right, I'm going to praise so God will rescue me. No. That's not the reason you praise. You praise because he's worthy. He's worthy. When you can't see the rescue, when you're surrounded by all the enemies, you praise. Not because, hey, I can see a glimmer of hope. There is no hope. I'm praising because He's worthy. God deserves our praise. Not because of what he might do next, but because of who he is, eternally secure and sovereign. So therefore, in the darkness, when I can't find a way, when there seems to be no hope, I'm praising God. In a culture of doubt that we live in a culture of panic attacks, in a culture of fear, oh no, what am I going to do? The answer is calling hallelujah. Some of you need to forget your Baptist. Hallelujah! Woo! He's worthy to be praised. I don't know how he's going to deliver me, but I know who my deliverer is, and I know he has never failed me yet. Amen? When enemies press in, you should begin to praise. Praise, it reorients your heart. It magnifies God's power. It invites his assistance. He's saying, whoa, Lord Jesus, I got enemies, and they're coming with their swords drawn. But you're greater than them all. And I'm praising you. And you've never let me down, and you won't let me down this time. Notice what it says, who is worthy to be praised. It's continuous. So you just don't say, thank you, Jesus. Now let's go back to worrying. No. You praise. And you praise. And you praise. Now some of you are very educated people. Say, preacher, who you talking to? Some of you have PhDs in worry. Can I get a witness out there? Come on, you looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Some of you are professional worriers. You need to lay down worry. Worry doesn't do a bit of good. Praise does. It takes your eyes off of your circumstances and it puts on your, he's worthy in the darkest moments, in the most challenging moments. That's what who would have thought? Three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. I wouldn't have been thinking praise. But they were. Paul and Silas in the prison at midnight. I would be thinking, man, I need to go to sleep. They're praising. Why? Not because their circumstances look good, because their God looked good and he was so very faithful to be praised. Praise, now listen to this, is not a 911 call. You know when I call 911? Come on, you know when I call 911? When there's an emergency, I don't just call up 911 to talk. Hey, just want to see what's going on down there. How y'all doing? I call 911 when there's a problem. That's what he's talking about. He doesn't call 911 because it's an emergency. We call 911 or we call on the Lord because it's habitual. It's our rhythm. It's our routine. We do it and we just praise. And we just praise. And we just praise. When everything looks good and the sun comes up and it's a zippity-doo-dah, zippity day. And when the sun doesn't come up and it's a day like today, it's cloudy and it's rainy. I'm just gonna praise. There's a big difference when the fire alarm goes off and the fireplace. Fire alarm goes off. Oh no, we got to do something. Fire alarm, you can go stand. It's cold outside. I'm going to go stand in front of that fireplace and warm up. Hey, that's what our praise is to be. Not in the emergencies, but in just regular routine. Bring on the emergencies. Hey, my God is greater than those. Bring on circumstance. My God's great. I am a person of praise, and I do it when everything's great and when my world is crashing in. Number two, the reason for praise. He is worthy. Number three, notice the reward of praise. I will call upon the Lord. who is worthy to be praised. Notice the last phrase. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Notice the progression. I will call. Who is worthy? So shall I be saved. I mean, that so shall I be saved. Woohoo! I know I'm in a Baptist church. That just makes me want to pull out my hanky and start waving it. You say, why? So shall. That's cause and effect. It's a promise that's grounded in experience. Because David calls on the Lord. And he calls on the right Lord, the one who is worthy to be praised. Therefore, in light of calling upon the Lord, who is worth, can you say he's worthy this morning? He's worthy. Therefore, in light of that, deliverance follows. That's what he's saying. It's progression. God hears the cries of those who praise him. Listen, some of you are in the middle of difficulty. God hears your cry and he delivers you. Woo! Most people want to cry. Most people want to pout. Not fair. Not right. Why me? You got a pulse. Why not you? Scripture says every soul that follows Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to come for you. He used to say, what is it, Peter? Rejoice when it comes. Count it all joy that the fiery trial is to try you. Don't think it's strange. No, why? Because it gives you an opportunity to praise. And people see, hey, I know what you're going through. Why are you praising? And you say, because he's worthy. Because he has delivered me in the past. There have been times in the past I didn't think I was getting out of there. But he got me out. Hey, I don't know how he's going to get me out of this problem. But I know he's able. Oh, he's able. He's able. I know my Lord is able to deliver me. Amen. Y'all I don't think you're quite convinced yet. Look what it says. So shall. Faith doesn't deny that the reality of the enemy. Faith declares the enemy won't win this battle. No, no, no. My God's going to win this battle. Shall be saved. Let me be straight up with you. Shall, that's future tense, doesn't mean it's going to be instantaneous. Now, I like it when deliverance comes instantaneously. God, I got this situation. Strike them down dead before my eyes. Doesn't always come instantaneously. God's going to take care of it. Sometimes the storm still rages, though. Sometimes the enemy still surrounds. Salvation is on the way. God's timetable is not panic-driven. God's not wringing his hands. Oh, no, we got to do something. We got help is on the way. Just praise. Just praise to the one who is worthy of our praise. Just praise knowing help, help, help is on the way. He doesn't say, I might be saved. Doesn't say, I hope I'll be saved. Doesn't say, well, we'll see what happens. No, 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 no. I, for me, will call upon the Lord because he's worthy to be praised. And therefore, the result, I'll be saved from mine enemies. It's a statement of faith. Look at it again. My enemies. That's personal. That's those people that are using you maliciously. That's temptation. That's addiction. That's discouragement. Some enemies shout. Some enemies are sneaky and they whisper. Some enemies attack to your face publicly so everybody can see it and knows it. Some enemies slander you behind your back when you're not looking. It doesn't say you fight your enemies. Call upon the Lord. Who's worthy? If I could get one truth across to you today, our God is worthy to be praised.
Why should you praise him? Because he's worthy to be praised. And your doubting and your fear and your belly aching doesn't do a blooming thing to help you. All it does is cloud your vision and it hurts you. He's worthy. David teaches, you don't minimize your enemies. You don't maximize your enemies. You magnify your Savior who's worthy, and your Savior will come through in your time of need. Psalm 18 is written right after David was delivered from Saul. The enemies were armed. The enemies had a strategy. The enemies were powerful. And look at your situation. You say, preacher, you don't know. You don't know what this situation I'm in. It's big and it's bad. And it can hurt me. Your enemy is not sovereignly in control. Your God is. Don't be praising your enemies. Don't be fearing your enemies. Be focusing on your Almighty God who's worthy. The enemy may write threats. Listen to this. It's not original. The enemy may write threats. God writes endings. Trust him. Praise him. Glorify him. And so shall I be saved from my enemies. He is worthy. One other thought and I'm done. David's a warrior. David is a fighter. David had skill. I mean, to do that thing he did to kill Goliath, round and round and round and round and round and round and round, for him to throw that little rock and hit him right where he hit him, and for that giant to go tumbling down, he was skilled. David was smart. He had a strategy. Notice what he says. I shall be saved. He didn't say, I'll outsmart him. I'll outmaneuver him. I'll outpower him. I'll make it through somehow. He says, so shall I be saved. Don't miss this, everybody in the balcony. Your victory is not going to originate from you. Your victory is going to originate when you call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And your Lord, who is worthy to be praised, he will save you. Divine intervention. One of the bad experiences of my life. We were at Pensacola Beach one Saturday, taking a break from all of those books. And there was probably 10 of us. And a couple of the guys that were with us, they said, hey, look off. There's a sand dune out there. Let's swim out there. And then we'll just kind of have like a beach party in the middle of the ocean. And everybody said, yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good idea. It was a long way. It was like a half a mile out there. And I'm not the greatest swimmer in the world. So they all go swimming, and they're all way ahead of me. And I get a cramp in my leg, and I literally, and I didn't tell my mama this until like 3 years ago, and I can't go any further. I mean, I'm literally, it's over my head, and I can't go any further. And they say somebody that is drowning, they don't wait calmly. They get frantic. And they thrash and they claw and they grab because, I mean, I remember very vividly going down. And I'm like, oh no, I got to do something. And everybody was gone in front of me except for Nolan Bobbitt. Love Nolan Bobbitt. Nolan Bobbitt's like 6'7". Nolan Bobbitt, on a conservative day, weighed about 400 pounds. When we saw Nolan Bobbitt out there in the ocean, everybody would yell, Free Willy! But Nolan Bobbitt saw me going down. Nolan Bobbitt came up and says, Jackson, you can't pull me down. Let me rescue you. He pulled out his big hands, and I just grabbed on his hands. He said, "Hey, don't pull me down. Let me save you." Very literally, 54 years old today. I would have been dead when I was 21 because I had that feeling where I went down and I was getting ready to go down that second time. And Nolan Bobbitt, who was making up the rear, saw me and he came over and he rescued me. But the key to rescue, you got to surrender. You got to let somebody save you. That's what Romans 10:13 says. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hey, your problem, your difficulty, you can be rescued if you'll surrender. You say, "Yeah, but I got this and I got this and I..." Hey, here's the remedy. Call upon the Lord. He's worthy. So shall I be saved from my enemy. Call upon the Lord and he will come out and he will help.